Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome everyone to Missing Pages of History, and thank you for allowing us to come in your home this evening, where we can share with you information to help make you a more well individual and one who will understand your world. Now, in the process of trying to inform people on the world that exists today, we will have some hot topics and some breaking news that we think will enlighten you to have a better understanding of what is happening right now. And as always, we would like to have your engagement with us by feeling free to call in and discussing with us issues and what's going on in your community by reaching us at 818-337-0016, and whereas you can go to our chat line. We have a Missing Pages of History chat line. You are welcome to go to our chat line. Any views or questions that you'd like to ask us, please join us on our chat line. Until then, we will open up our program with one of our contributors, the analyst, Emmanuel. He will share with us some of his hot topics or some breaking news. And one of the things about this breaking news category, I believe we'd like to discuss a little bit about a country called DeVito, something that recently took place, and I think that very few people know about it. And we believe that this is something important that people need to be aware of. And I will ask Emmanuel, first welcome him to Mr. Pages, if he can share some breaking news about what's going on with this company, DeVito. Emmanuel, welcome to Mr. Pages of History.
Welcome, welcome.
Well, Emmanuel, as I stated earlier, there's some breaking news dealing with a company called DeVito. Based upon your research so far up to date, what can you share with our listening audience about what's happening with this company?
Well, DeVito is one of your premier dialysis facilities, or you might say dialysis provider, a leading provider. I think it's number two, I think, in the world. I know it's one of the leading ones in the United States of America. They have been basically, you might say, paying doctors illegal kickbacks. And, of course, this pertains to False Claims Act. They're paying kickbacks to doctors to induce patients to his dialysis clinics. It's headquartered in Denver, Colorado, had dialysis clinics in 46 states and District of Columbia and 10 countries outside of the United States. They have 174,000 patients that's on dialysis. And they often, they're PR, that they're healthcare providers who generate, you know, a generous amount of revenue. They're okay to say that. And they talk about their superior quality services. So what happened is that they induce physicians. Listen to me carefully, listeners. They induce physicians to provide referrals. So what I'm saying is that they're saying they're protecting the integrity of the healthcare system. But it's all about the profit. It's about the money. And what they do, paying the doctors kickbacks, they identified these physicians also, or we might say physician groups also, involve both. So these groups had sufficient, you might say, patient population to make this kind of revenue and different geographic areas. I have no idea what the other five states they're not in, but I can just about namely can say they're in North Dakota, probably South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, these type of places. Because it's not there. I mean, the population's not there for dialysis. But again, they violated the False Claims Act. They have agreed to pay $350 million to resolve the claim that is violated. Now, the settlement is not going to stop there. There was a whistleblower, And this is certain doctors was basically describing medication that will blow your kidneys out. And so when you blow them out, then, of course, they refer. Now, the problem I got with this is that 71% are minorities. You have 13% of the population. The Hispanics are 18% of the population. The Chinese are about 5% of the population. And these are people that you see. All right, very few European Americans, very few. Mainly African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans. That's what you see. So my thing is, they produce so many patients in 46 states and in 10 countries. The 10 countries, I think, got 87 facilities. So everybody needs to look at, go and print in DaVita, D-A-V-I-T-A, and print in DaVita lawsuit and see what's going on with this, the illegal kickbacks to doctors. What else were they doing? The patients they were treating, what were they giving them to knock out their kidneys? So they give blacks mostly they call the water pill that dries up the kidneys. That is a huge problem. And the person that owned the company basically is Warren Buffett. I'm going to repeat that. The person, or the, you might say the largest stockholder, is Warren Buffett. I think everybody knows him. It's under the table things he do. So this is very serious. They mean they don't care about your health. They care about profits over health. Special African-American health, Hispanic health. They don't care about that. So right now, the criminal investigation is being closed. They got three things they have charged them with. But they have shut down two already. Of course, you got Warren Buffett involved. I'm not going to send nobody to jail. So they also violated the civil forfeiture. And that was $39 million. The price of doing the Medicare and Medicaid scheme was $350 million. So this is going to be a continuation. And also, I expect significant settlements on a continuing investigation of such wasteful business arrangements. But like, this is what you do. The False Claims Act can only go but so far. So the whistleblower, they'll get a percentage of what's going on. But we got to dig a little bit deeper and find out if you're kicking back, what were you doing to get kickbacks? Yes, referring in patients, I don't think that's the end of that. Referring patients, because you know their health profile. So, and also one important thing was they signed an agreement with DaVita. And with a lot of provisions. And the whole thing was not to criminalize anybody. And they had a non-compete also. They bought the companies out that would have dialysis patients. They bought them out and gave them a preposterous amount of money to buy them out. So that is a problem. We started in Florida at a place called Gampro. They bought Gampro out for basically 60% for about $6 million. Then they came and got, you know, get the agreement they need to have, a competing agreement. They gave another $3 million for the other 40%. So the group ended, they went, actually they got involved and ventured into what you call a non-compete agreement. And this is what they did. So again, when a company pays doctors or a practice group for patient referrals, the company's focus is not on the patient, but on the profit to be extracted. They're providing services to the patient. So we're going to keep you updated on this as much as possible. I'm a dialysis patient myself, so I'm really going to get involved in this very heavy because of what has happened. I believe the same thing happened to me. Great kidneys, high blood pressure, they say with the big kills. They think all black folk have high blood pressure. Well, that's not true. But you're the easiest person to, you might say, persuade. We're very gullible to our doctor, think we idolize him. Tell you to take this medication, take this, the side effects don't tell you nothing, basically. When you ask them that, they're looking at the computer. They don't even want to answer that question. See? So, again, we got to be more inquisitive, get second and third opinions. Most of us can't afford to go to a second or third doctor. They know who they're grabbing at. People on poverty and just above poverty. And people got insurance and older people that cannot get a kidney transplant after a certain age. Most hospitals won't do it after 75. So people that are 75 and up, that's the one they got basically. I think they said the older people in there was around 66%. So that's a huge problem. So when I look at this thing, I'm looking at it very, very hard. That we need to do something now. And again, listeners, get DaVita, get the website, and go and hit DaVita and also hit DaVita lawsuit.
Wow, that's interesting, Emmanuel, because it makes me think about when we look at this high rate of people catching diabetes, particularly in the African community. They know that fructose is a high content of foods that have sugar in it that leads to obesity. But yet, instead of lowering the fructose, if you look at the foods that you eat today, they have more in it. So I'm wondering, based upon what you just stated about DaVita, is a deliberate plan to make these people sick and catch these diseases because there's a profit incentive.
The thing is to induce patients for this particular disease, dialysis. They do not want you to get a transplant, basically, because you take it from them. But again, after you get the transplant, you still have to go back to them. This is the key. They're making money regardless. So... But again, the Medicaid and Medicare fraud, people know who's on Medicaid. Percentage-wise, we're the higher percentage because we don't make the money. Medicare, we're over 65. And this, what again, they went into the doctors, the group did. Each doctor had so many, a population of so many patients, they placed the emphasis there for profit. So, again... We have to look at this, the financial part of it, and we have to look at the health care part of it, the patient, and see if any fraud, we got to put some heat on them, or any initiative from the Health and Human Services Department. That the law firms is handling this, different law firms, so you need to call your law firm that's handling this, a list of lawyers, especially the top lawyer, they're listed. Then you can ask him what law is happening in your particular state, where it's Virginia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, where it is. We need to handle this. And again, you just got to check into the allegations of illegal kickbacks. What were your doctor doing? They didn't want you to go nowhere else. He referred you to as like a panel of doctors, hand you off to one doctor, the next doctor. And this is what they got going in healthcare. Once they see Medicaid, you're not making no money. That's why they don't want to give you no raise. Obama will give everybody a raise, get them out of pocket, but the Republicans don't want to do it because, again, you're taking money from them. You're making enough money to come off of Medicaid, you've lost a person now. So they can't. Medicaid and Medicare fraud are the two big nemesis here. They're two enemies here. And that's where the money is to get paid by the government. That money will get paid. And they know this. And the government not going to do too much auditing. They just, they got people lobbying and everything else. And again, when we're taking a look at that, this is so significant. that the profits over health care. We're going to continue this series on this particular company.
Okay, that was our breaking news for the day. You've been listening to our contributor and analyst, Emmanuel. And right now, this segment, we're going to talk about some current events and hot topics. And we'd like to invite our listening audience to feel free to share with us your current events and hot topics by calling in at 818-337-0016. Make sure if you have any views or comments, please hit 1. Emmanuel, recently in the news, there was an incident in North Florida dealing with a police academy where they were taking pictures of black faces or African faces who has been maybe incarcerated in some kind of way into the system. And they used them for target practicing. They had police officers on target, use their pictures for target practicing, shoot them in the head. What do you make of such behavior? What does that say to the community in general and to African people in this country in particular for such a display of, what can you say? It's atrocious to me. What can you make of that?
Yeah, it's very atrocious to me that you use a police academy, that you put six black pictures of the photos up there and you shoot at them. I'm like, target practice? Black people? Why even have six white pictures up there? Target practice on them sometimes. See, to them, it's cartoon comedy. Cartoon comedy can be very insensitive to some people and be very sensitive to some people. Well, I'm sensitive to it. I don't want to see no more Amos and Andy, no more Jeffersons, no more Good Times, none of that craziness. That imagery showing maybe that you're poor, living in the projects, all this craziness. We need to stop that. This is what they do. It sells. And they're going to not stop selling stuff that sells. It's a capitalism country, and it gets crazy sometimes. It crosses the boundaries. They don't think so. The European Americans do not think that they don't cross the boundary at no given time. So when we talk about things of this magnitude, using at the police academy, start them from the root, from the beginning. You know, shoot them in the head, whatever it takes. Is this the training we're getting? How do you counteract something like that? Oh, I got ways to counteract that, of course. But the police chief, I think he came on, what he said was so ambiguous. Well, we're not racist. That means you are. First thing about your mouth, we're not racist. He should have said, we're through with that. You're going to take them pictures down. We're just going to put targets up with the round target. That's all you should be using now. What kind of practice is that? What are you practicing on an image? Human beings, which you really don't care. Because black lives don't matter. Not to you. Now, killing your son, or killing your daughter, killing your brother, it's okay as long as you don't kill them. They're used to it. From lynching to what you have now. If you ask someone about the lynching, they're going to have a lie to tell you, as usual. Ask about the shooting, you can see it on camera, another lie. Don't make no difference. Their eyes don't lie. So nobody else's eyes is telling the truth. And that's right. That's power and control. And like I said before, three things: race, religion, racism equals capitalism. Those three are the main ingredients of capitalism, those three. So the whole thing on that police academy's training needs to be put out there, exposed. And the police chief, he know what's going on. Get rid of him. Find a way to get rid of him. Because you know he got some dirt on him. Dirt easy to find. If you want to find it. But to keep people off track, keep people distracted, contracted, by what they do with the media. It's what they do. And they send a person to talk about it, can't talk about it. Very difficult to talk about the truth. It's easy to talk about a lie. Very easy to talk about a lie. And that's what he did. It's like the Ferguson. Police chief talked about them lies. Police chief in New York talked about them lies. But we got to understand where you learn them first, learn your history, and you can see why we do why they do what they do today. Ain't nobody hanging nobody no more. They just shooting them. But any incident, then they cry afterwards after they did it, then they come up with a lie. Your police department should reflect your community. 90% of the time, it don't reflect the people in the community. Especially when the community is basically over 50% African American. Some don't have not black police officers at all. Out of 15, 60, none. One probably when he had 90, he got 6 blacks. That particular city is 72% African American. So these are things we have to look at. We have to look at these things, get it exposed, and keep it out there. Sustain it. Get a lawyer. Every time the police do anything, get a lawyer. Don't talk, get a lawyer right away. That's what they do. Do the set the blueprint. I said, boy, the blueprint is already made for you. When I talk about the prison system, I'm going to give you some very interesting statistics that will blow your mind. They lock us up, another form of slavery, so we can do slavery-type work in the penal institutions. And the 3 states that are building private enterprises right today, Florida, Texas, California. That's where they lock up the most people in those 3 states. Because they get paid for locking them up. $105,000 a year to lock up an inmate, what it costs. And they're getting paid. Anything they can create to get paid, that's what they're going to do. And you, the African Americans, we're the fall guy. Hispanics are second. Fall guy. Asians the third, fall person. Whites the last. And they do the most crime. But they got the best of lawyers. They can get out. They get out. They get a job. You can't get a job. 85% of African Americans go back to prison because you won't find a job because you're a felon there. Very difficult. So they need to take those pictures down. They should discipline at the police department. The head of training for police academy. We get our tax money to pay for these guys. We got to do more background checks on them and their uncle and brother and cousin. All these can't be police officers because your resume is off a relationship. And it's called, of course, it's nepotism because they get paid at the end. When they retire, they make a lot of money on retirement. Most of them move to Florida. A lot of them move to Arizona. They're stripping the cities out of their money. So we need to become more police officers, more firemen, so we can get that good pension too at the end. Understand what goes on here. They're not a police officer who want to be a police officer. The fire chief that retired in San Diego. $275,000 a year. What are we talking about here? So you find a way, you know anybody, recruit, be police officers, because we need better ones. Firemen, we need better ones. They're just standing back, shining the truck up. Fire might have maybe 3-4 weeks. One of the laziest jobs out there is a fireman. Just go by the fire to see what they're doing. Even, especially in the summertime. They sit in their chairs, but when the fire break out, here they come. Oh, and making so many mistakes. I only call them chimney savers. That's what they are. House them burned down. They know the neighborhood they're going into. Well, we'll take our time to get there. Oh! They have a mentality that your life don't mean anything. Black lives do matter. Before they're concerned, it doesn't matter. So the police academy around this country need more training. They need to get new police officers, a whole bunch need to get new ones. Because a lot of guys in the police department are racist, and we know it. Some are Klan members. Everybody knows this. Things not that's new. They hire their cousin, their uncle, their friends. It's very nepotism in the police departments across this country. and the fire department, basically. It's what it is. And they get paid very handsome when they retire. They get promoted and everything else before they retire. Make sure they get maximized retirement as much as possible. Military the same way. I can tell you about that, too. But this is the deal. In the time the government is paying the bill through tax, your tax money, they want to make sure that they benefit from your tax money. We need to look at those police academies. Very, very rigid. Said, this is what you need to do. And you're in the majority, too, of the population, and they're the minority, and they got all the good jobs, as usual. Whether they're qualified or not, the first thing on the resume being qualified is being European American. That's number one. Like I said before, very difficult, awfully hard for a black man to be in charge of white people. They don't want that to happen. You're still the slave in their book, and they're the master. Understand that.
Okay, man, I'm going to stop you right there for a second. We have a listening audience who has something to say. We can go to our caller number 6057. Caller 6057. Welcome to Mr. Pages. Your question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, brothers. I want to what you've been discussing during the last few minutes reminded me of the fact that the role of police in the society is not to protect the masses or the people at all. And I think the example of the of what happened at that police academy in Florida illustrates that. And I think Africans need to understand that the role of the police is to protect the property of the ruling class above all else.
That's correct.
And it's their primary role, to protect the property of the ruling class, which happens to be the white corporate class in this society. And it is not to protect us. And that's something that Africans need to be aware of. And that they, when they do save a life, is incidental to what their primary role is, which is to protect property, particularly property of the ruling class, because Africans, for all practical purposes, don't have any property to protect.
Caller, why have you on the line? I'd like for you and Emmanuel maybe articulate your position on how can the African community protect themselves if we have an organized force to call the police that is not willing or unable to do so? How would you suggest we go about dealing with this question or organizing our community to protect ourselves? I'll take the call the first thing, Emmanuel. I'd like to have your response to it. Go ahead, Carlos.
Sure. Let's see. I think a key thing is that we need to get organized as a people. We need to form an independent political organization that has our interests in mind. And when you're fighting against an organized enemy, you have to get organized. Otherwise, you'll never be able to defeat that enemy. So the solution is a permanent political organization. And also, we have to start sharing information as much as possible, and moving as much as possible as a collective. And I think political organization is the key, because we're fighting against a very well organized and financed enemy.
Emmanuel, how you propose to the people? How can we go about protecting our communities? Not depend upon the so-called police force of today.
But number one, you have to organize, whether it be a block type thing or community type thing. We got to do that first. They got this way to what they call what so-called Zimmerman was doing, so-called. But we need that type of security first of all. Second, how do we attack this? Well, how you attack over policing? We need cameras so we can take things, show photos, do this. So when you talk to an organization group, you got some type of documentation. This is what we saw. Every arrest that's made out there, we need to put our camera on it as quick as. But you see, cameras don't do anything. Because, again, the ruling class, as the caller said, they're the power and they have the authority. See, we have the power, but we don't have the authority. That's the problem. We have the power, but do you have the authority? And like I said, it's like a football game. I'm going to take an analogy real quick for the caller and for other people can listen. Listen to this analogy I'm about to make, power and authority. You're a 300-pound lineman, 6'6". You got the power, but you have no authority. The guy got the authority is about 5'8", 5'9". He got black and white stripes on. He can throw you out of the game because he got the authority. Till you go to your locker room, he got the authority. See, but you got the power. Here's a guy 5'8", 160 pounds. He got the authority. You just got the power. So you got to get the power and you got to get the authority. How do you get the authority? By positioning yourself in the police department so we have authority and get this again because we can talk to that particular person. But the larger organizations that are sustainable, like NAACP, National Action Network, with the SLIC, they call it, I think. These organizations got money. They're financed. But again, who are they financed by? They make sure they can't put a muzzle on your mouth when you talk. Once you got photos, you got camera shots and this type of thing. But number one, we got to police our community. I think they call it a neighborhood watch or something. Yeah, we have that where I am. So all that's good, and it works. So the big thing, the people got cameras outside their homes. They can watch three or four doors, talk to each other, you know, while I'm gone, protect my home, look at, you know, make sure. So all that's good stuff. We got to use the camera. That's our best validation is the camera. And organizations are probably out second to go. Once you show validation, we got documents, then the organization, you got something to feed to the organization that you're starting, and the purpose, the vision, you can put all this out there. But you got to have that. I think we've seen enough already to do that. And especially with cities that have over 50-60% of African-American population, get the authority. You need to get the authority. We got the power. Don't have the authority. I think I gave you a very good analogy of what goes on. Who had the authority and who has the power? He was people's power, but people ain't got no authority. That's what you have to understand. We've been brainwashed so much. How do you get unbrainwashed? Like I said, how do you get unbrainwashed? It's amazing. But I agree with the caller. These are the kind of things you need. But you got to have some validation because some people, like I said, they got a nice house, nice car, got to doing okay. They're not going to do much. And that's the one kind of people can afford it. They're not going to do a whole lot because they got what they want. You got to get the ministers involved who has a mass of people at the church. Get them involved. They don't want you to interrupt their service with this kind of stuff. They ain't got to do that. You're not going to hit their pocketbook and what they're doing. So that's what you got to do. Once you get the ministers involved, because they got the people, and go to speak to each church. If you dominate African-American, that's for the community. This is what we need to do now. There's other ways to do it also. But again, those are the highlights or the high points that we need to do is to make sure we need policing in the community. We know we need that. But to make sure they are good cops and not bad cops. Because every cop is not a good cop. Every cop is not a bad cop. And some cops should not be cops. You know their belief, but again, the resume is cheapened when it gets to nepotism and get to basically family relations. My daddy was a police officer. That qualifies you? That's what they say. And that's how you have to talk to them. See? But nobody's going to say that. Nobody probably but me. Your resume. Was your daddy a police officer? Oh, yeah. Was your uncle one? Yeah. That's why you became one. It's very easy to get in. They have a path to get in through that relationship and, of course, through nepotism. And, again, the money is great at the end. They tell you them lies, but police officers, a lot of them make over $100,000 a year. A lot of them. But we make about everything. We make like eight. That's a very good job.
That's a very good job.
And we got to become police officers. That's my take on that, Toby.
Okay. We're going to let the caller make your last response, then we're going to our next caller. Caller 6057, anything additional you want to say before we go to our next caller? 6057.
No, not at this time, no.
Okay. Now, let's go to caller number 9289. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment? Caller 9289.
Okay, I'd just like to say it's been an interesting conversation going on, especially involving the company and the with Warren Buffett, which, like Mr. Jordan said, everyone's familiar with Warren Buffett, and it's nice to have that information, and I will be doing my own research to also read and collaborate. What Mr. Jordan was saying is just a shame, but somehow we need to find a way that we get this information out, especially to the senior citizen homes and stuff like that, so they could be aware of it, to sort of be able to question the medicines and things that the doctors are doing to them, which would be a hard chore, but it would be a good idea. And hopefully with Missing Pages, they can be one of those avenues to get to these seniors, just to get, you know, let them be aware of what's going on as far as their health is concerned. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, caller. You know, Emmanuel, in terms of that last caller, and maybe I'd like for you to speak to it, on the issue of how do we overcome this attitude of believing the doctor knows what's best for us, and we'd be very fearful of asking them questions. I think it's true in terms of when she talked about the elderly, particularly the elderly among our community. They are more susceptible when they go to these doctors, and particularly if these doctors look like someone else who don't look like them. They have a tendency to have a lot more trust in them, and they may not always necessarily have their best interests at heart based upon just what you stated today. So how do we get our people to question doctors and begin to really become more in charge of their well-being health-wise?
Well, like I said before, it's worth repeating. When you go to court, don't go without a lawyer. When they arrest you, get a lawyer. We need to do this every time we go to court. But if they coerce you, they make different offers. See, where you get threatened you with 20 years, 25 years, this and that, it's not even there. But again, you get a lawyer, don't shut him or zip your mouth up. We talk too much sometimes about nothing. Nothing. That's our problem. We're going to make you a deal. See, that's all we know. It's all extension of slavery. All extension of slavery. But the doctors, you screen them. Before I got my doctors, I got them on the internet to find more about them. Then my next thing was to find a person that who has seen this doctor. So if you talk to an elderly person, my doctor is the best doctor. We got 50 states where all doctors are. How can your doctor be the best doctor? But this is the way we talk. This is how brainwashing talk we do. We idolize the doctor. Elderly people are very gullible, especially African-American people, because most of them are not that educated, basically. Scared to ask questions. They have to get intimidated. I got intimidated. But he didn't know who he was talking to. See, so my thing is that you got to get opinions, second and third opinions. They want to cut your legs off, cut your toes off. How many white folk walk around, other than wards and this and that they're cutting their legs off for diabetes? They use us for guinea pigs. Understand that. And tell the doctor that. I'm not afraid to tell the doctor. When I walked into Dallas's clinic, I saw 75% black people. I looked around. The first thing I said, hell, we don't do happy hour. We're not exporting these bench making up beer and all this crazy stuff for you guys that we can't afford. Went to just to see a plate. They got a bar and there were all kinds of drinks. Who buying the drinks? Who buying those $10, $15 drinks? They are. Why come their kidney ain't falling? Why come they don't need dialysis? Never drank in my life. you create high blood pressure by taking certain medication. That's what you want. Once you get that, they got to throw that blood pressure pill on you, or that water pill on you. I was taking 9 blood pressure pills, different types. When I did my research, it was too late. I'm on dialysis. I'm like, all of them basically the same. It's like gas. It's the same, basically. Shell, BP, Chevron, Exxon, they're basically the same. They're about 5, there's maybe 5% a little different. Some don't use as much alcohol or much water as the other one use, that's all. Don't tell your car. They tell your body like they tell your car with cheap gas. It will tell your body up the same way. No one asks about the side effects. I'm down to 1 pill now and getting the same results. Not taking 24. Some of them got to take 4 times a day and 3 times a day and kill my kidneys. Never. No kidney foundations in my family. No kind of way. But they create them. And what they're saying to the thing. And we can't do too much about it because anywhere there's money in the capital system, they're going to get it. Medicare and Medicaid is money. They're going to get it, raise the prices, everything else. They don't like affordable care. Of course they don't like it. You're taking money out of their pockets. They're charging you more. I draw a line through a lot of my stuff because they put lies on there. All they do is pay the bill. They're looking at the itemized item like they should. And I call. They didn't do this. This doctor didn't want 20 minutes, want to charge $700 for 20 minutes. The other guy came with him, want to pay him $450 with both hands in his pocket just looking, observing. I'm not paying nobody for observing. Well, when you talk to them like that, they get a little fret. Uh-oh. We have to intimidate them also. They're in the practice, want to make a lot of money, send the kids to college, nice house, nice car, nice family, take a nice vacation, get a second home in the mountains. This is what they do. We got to expose that. They got 2 Mercedes Benz, 1 for him, 1 for the wife. You don't have anything. You have nothing. So, again, get the resume on the doctor. Ask other doctors about him, people that you know about him. Google him, whatever it takes. Make sure that you're getting the best health care. But, again, we're brainwashed. We have to get unbrainwashed first.
On that note, we'd like to thank our listening audience for allowing us to come to their home this evening and to continue to work towards filling some of these missing pages of history. We'd like to thank our guest today, Emmanuel, for sharing perspectives on some breaking news and several hot topics. And we'd like to remind you, as always, Missing Pages of History is a bi-weekly program. You can catch our next program at 12 noon on January the 31st. And we'd like to remind you, too, that we can always use your support. We have an upcoming first quarter raffle for the year 2015, which will take place February 21st. If you'd like to purchase tickets or make a donation, you can always contact us at missingpageshistory1@yahoo.com, or you can call us at 804-726-3217 and send all contributions to P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia 23261. We welcome it. Again, we are trying to use this means of communication to enlighten, to inform, to stimulate, and to make our communities and humanity a better place. Until next time, we thank you for listening to Missing Pages of History.